right. As promised, we do have a children's lesson for you. However, there is one logistic hiccup, that being that in preparation for not having children's church and not having nursery, we both prepared a children's lesson, and also we allowed a lot of our families with children to go do overflow worship. And so a lot of them and the children are over there, and so children's lesson in here for calling children down for the lesson might not work out great, so apologize for the logistic there. However, I am still a children's pastor at heart. I used to be one, and I dearly love being a children's pastor. You might think I'm actually still a child at heart, and you're not wrong, but we begin with our children's lesson today because we do have plenty of children still in the room with us, and so I've got something neat for you. It's a candy cane. So, first of all, I like to start off my children's sermon with a few jokes. Kids, you guys ready for these? Because I want you to be able to use these back home later today. All right, you ready? What do you call Santa Claus when he stops moving? Santa pause. Yeah. Think about it. Because he's not moving anymore. All right, I got another one for you guys. You ready? Just go ahead and if you're taking notes, this is where you want to take notes in the sermon. Use this on your family. What did one snowman say to the other snowman? Do you smell carrots? It's their nose. That's right. That's kind of a thinking man's joke, I think. But one of you is going to start laughing in about 10 minutes, randomly. It's all right. Here's the verse for our children's lesson as we talk about candy canes today. And our children who are here with us in the room, but also our children who are out there in the overflow, I have candy canes for all of you today. But let me read a verse to you. This is from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Scripture says, God says, come now and let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. My dear children, it's a good time to be born and it's a good time to be alive because Jesus Christ has already come and been born into the world. And he came that he could wash away all of your sins someday when you choose to follow after him as Lord and Savior. The next verse is, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. So kids, if you are willing and obedient, if you decide, you know what, Jesus, you're going to be the boss in my life and I'm going to follow after you, then you'll have all the blessings of getting to be a part of his kingdom and his country, namely forgiveness for our sins. See, sins, the Bible says here, they're like crimson, like scarlet. They're red and they stain you. Have you ever gotten like red stuff on your shirt and been stained by it? I've got a better one for you. Have you ever been eating waffles on Christmas morning like my kids were this morning and suddenly there is syrup everywhere and like the whole house is sticky? Is that you? And you're like, once you start eating syrup, it's all over you and there's no way to get rid of it, right? You've got to be washed clean completely. I'm going to take you outside with a hose and spray you off if you're going to get rid of all the stickiness off of you. Well, sin is sort of like that. When we do wrong, it just sort of sticks to us and covers us, and there's not a way to get rid of it or the guilt of it. But you know what? Jesus has loved you so much that he's come to forgive you. He will wash away all of your sins. So though you might be stained, yet he will wash you completely clean. So kids, to remember this lesson today, I've got a candy cane for all of you. However, following our theme of stickiness, I don't have it for you just right now. Rather, you're welcome, parents. On your way out, David, I have one for you. On our Christmas tree here in the back, it is covered with candy canes hanging all over it. And children of all ages, you are welcome to take you a candy cane off of the Christmas tree on your way out and get the car sticky. All right? Now, for everyone else, or children, we also have, since you may not be a candy cane aficionado, I brought you the best of all peppermints. You know how good these things are? These ones that are the peppermint flavor? Well, there's bowls of them in the back, so adults, you too, can go and take one with you. If you're going to see family later today, then take the lesson with you and go and share it. Take some candy canes. There's plenty of extra ones. And if you're going to see family, share it with all of them today. The Bible verse is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. These ones are from my private stash, so I'm going to keep them here now. Turn with me in Scripture to Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry. I keep sticky notes in my Bible, and I have an extra one that I turned to wrongly. Kimberlyn was making fun of me about this last night, because when we do communion, my sticky note says very clearly, bread number one and juice number two, because I've gotten that wrong so many times and handed out the wrong order. It's good to find that note. Yeah, she's laughing at me, but we did it like last year, right? We took the juice first. Unacceptable. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm reading out of the Pew Bible. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, we're on page 832. Page 832, Luke chapter 2. This is where we get the record of Christ coming into the world. This is the birth story that you may have read with your family already today. Let's read it together now as a family. If you will, let's pray together before we read Scripture. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you. Oh, Father, we are so thankful that you sent Jesus Christ into the world to save us from our sins. Father God, put your Spirit on us now to teach us something new about yourself. And this I pray in your name. Amen. That's why I have a sticky note. In those days, verse 1, Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and to the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child. Now while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed them in the manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living by, keeping their flocks nearby. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angel left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. You've heard the birth story, perhaps. You've heard this before. But let's take a moment and marvel about it again. Marveling first at who it is that gets invited to the birth of Jesus. It's a bunch of shepherds, and not the day shift guys, the night shift guys, right? It's those ones. Those shepherds are the ones who are invited to come and hear about this Savior. It's those ones that the angel appears to. Who has Christ come into the world to save? He's come into the world to save you too. No matter what circumstances you live in, no matter what shift you work on, no matter how blue collar a guy you are, no matter what color your collar is, even if you don't own one, a single collar in your whole house, Christ has come to save you as well. The birth of Jesus Christ in the world was for all people. I love the good hard work Richard and the choir put into our Christmas musical. I say musical because I can't say cantata appropriate. I can't say that word right. I understand. I say it wrong every time I try, so I won't try any longer. Our Christmas musical that the adults did, it was a great program. Right at the last minute, Richard threw some drama, a play at some of us, and we hustled to make it work out well, and it was a delight to get to be a part of it. One of the things I love about it, though, is who all is invited from the play, you see. All sorts of different people were able to come and be a part of it, whether they were high power, busy, somebody who was racked with guilt over their sins, but especially the shepherd, if you were there for that performance, was a guy hurting over pain in his family, a young redneck guy played perfectly by one of our new members, Morgan Richardson. What I say to you today is Jesus Christ came in the world to save all of us. You are not so small, your life, your lot, not so insignificant that you have been looked over by Christ. Rather, it is the meek people of this world that Jesus Christ came and announced, the angel came and announced Christ's birth to first. God loves you dearly, and you have a place in His kingdom. Second thing that we see here is, what exactly is the gospel? What is the good news? If you're going to say it in a sentence, what's the good news? Well, good news for you today, it is said in one clear sentence. I mean, the angels, they have to relate what's the good news, and they say it very clearly and specifically. Here's the good news. You don't have to be afraid, verse 10. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This is the gospel. First of all, that you don't have to be afraid. That God has good planned for your life. He's not an angry judge looking forward to judging you. Rather, He is a delightful Father looking forward to save you from judgment. This news, it is to bring great joy to all people, that all people should be able to hear it and know that God has loved them and has viewed their sinful estate with mercy and has forgiveness for them as well, if they will call out to Him as Lord. The gospel is this, is that God Himself came down into the world and took on flesh to walk among us. This is the wildest part of this verse. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. It is the Lord God who has come. God, sometimes, especially when things are difficult in life, you can feel as though God is far away. You can feel as though God is not near to you. God is not with you. And yet it's not true. God has never once left you alone. God has never once left us alone. Rather, this God that we worship, He came down and took on flesh. He walked among us. When He went back into heaven, He went back into heaven saying to His disciples, "It is better for you that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come down on you and stay with all of you at all times." And this is what we have, we who believe, that God is with us. That when we believe at first, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He comes upon our life powerfully and He stays, never leaving for a moment. God is with us. And this is what we celebrate in the birth story. Finally, what we have, this declaration from these angels, this great company of the heavenly host appears. That means everybody. I don't know how many are in there. I don't know what all is in there, but the entire heavenly host, everyone and everything, they show up to worship Christ that night, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." In hearing the gospel and being called to follow after it today, His favor rests on you. Will you choose to follow after Him? There is peace to be had because there is a King that brings peace. There's a King who will allow you to come into His kingdom and live in that peace forever. This season is crazy. The more kids, the more grandkids you have, the less peace there is. I am living this. I love Christmas, and I almost said this morning, I almost said, "My goodness, we need Christmas to be over with." I don't know. I need some peace. This close. And we've got a fourth kid that's going to be born here in a month, so it's not coming soon. And it's not unique in my house. The more kids, the more grandkids, the more people and family, the more chaotic and hectic it can be. And yet, there is a Prince of Peace who will bring peace into your life and will lead you into His kingdom. why remain tired and exhausted of fleeing from him? Why remain tired and exhausted, hoping to find satisfaction in sin when you know every time that it ends with brokenness, that it can never bring happiness and joy or peace into your life? Rather, today, turn to Jesus Christ and say, I give up, I give up, I give in. I will follow after you. You be my Lord and lead me to peace, because he will do it to all who come to him today. This passage, like every other Christmas passage you see here, this passage ends with a group of people worshiping God. I think it's a hint, a subtle one for us, that we ought to conclude as well today, worshiping God. What do you think? Let's do it. Father God, now as we sing worship to you, I pray that you would receive this song as worship. We delight that you came into our lives and brought peace. Just like that night was dark and you suddenly illuminated all of it, so you came into the darkness of our lives and illuminated everything. Father God, it is a joy to worship you. Father, we will be worshiping you and following after you until that day when you return and set all things right. Until that day, Father, we will say, come soon, and we will worship you. This I pray in your name. Amen.